glad I'm a soldier going home.
Amen.
I'm glad my kids are going with me.
Yeah.
Devil can't have my kids.
Amen.
They get 18, I know they go out on their own and everything, but
blessing.
And I've told you this here before. A lot of folks get beat up by certain things. All moms and dads can do is do the best. And I believe you bring them to church and let them take part in church and let God lead them. I believe when they get older, I believe they'll have them things embedded in their heart.
Yeah.
And they won't be able to deny them. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm thankful to be here. Boy, I'm glad I'm here.
Bless
you, boy. Thankful to be saved. Thankful to be going to heaven. This morning, thank God I'm a soldier.
Amen.
And I'm bound for glory. I like that song Brother Howard sang. I'm going to die on the battlefield. I'm going to die in this war. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm thankful. It's going to be in the book of Haggai. Some folks may not know. Haggai is one of the minor prophets. Go to the book of Matthew. Go back three books. You'll find Haggai. Haggai's prophet. Minor prophet back in those days. We want to read this scripture. This was upon our heart in the last couple of weeks, and we didn't know when the Lord was going to have us to preach it, but He's going to have us preach it today, so we need to covet your prayers that you help us today and pray for us. Lord, lift us up and
bless Him, Lord, help.
Hide us in the midst of the cross and strengthen us and anoint our mouth today that we might be able to preach boldly that and with power and demonstration of the Spirit. Haggai, I'm going to start reading in the first chapter of the book of Haggai. I'm going to start reading at the fifth verse. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." May I pray with you today. Precious God, we come before you one more time this morning. God, we're thankful and praise and glorify you. Lord God, for everything that you do, we thank you and praise you, Lord Father, for the abundant spirit. We thank you for what we feel in our heart. We thank you, Lord Father, for your preserved word. We're thankful, Lord, that you are in our midst, Lord Father. We thank you. We can feel your presence, feel you, Lord Father, in our heart. But Father, we pray today, Lord God, we need your help. Lord Father, we need you to anoint us, Lord Father, with that spirit from up on high. Lord Father, I know I have to wait for the preacher. He lives within me. I don't have to wait, Lord Father, for the spirit, your spirit to stir me, Lord Father. It already lives within me. But God, I need that power, Lord God, that only you send through your men, Lord Father, to preach the gospel and to preach the acceptable word today. I know your word will not go out and return to you void. Lord, I don't even know what all entails of this message, but God, you know. And God, I pray today, Lord Father, that you just hide us in the midst of the cross. Let me lose sight of myself, Lord Father. May the whole congregation and myself lose sight of our surroundings, Lord Father, but we would open up our heart and receive that which you want to give us. God, we ask you to speak through our hearts. I pray, Lord God, help us to hear with our heart. And God, that whatever happens, Lord Father, we give the glory and the praise that's due to thy name. Oh God, and I pray today, Lord Father, it's already been said. If there's anybody here, Lord Father, that's among us, that's seeking you, Lord God, anybody here that's lost, doesn't know what it's like to be saved, Father, there may be people here, it might be church members, Lord Father, who've never been born again. But God, I pray today, Lord Father, it don't matter who we are, what our status is, God, I do believe you love us, Lord Father, yes. The word says you love us. And God, you want to help us today. And Lord, bring us up unto you. God, help us. This nice son's through precious name that you pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you for reading and praying with us. And as we've read these scriptures before in the book of Haggai, if I can give you a brief background, might be a little teaching here at first, but I want to give you a brief background on Haggai the prophet. Haggai has come out of Babylon with the other crowd of like Ezra and Nehemiah, of them people that come from the captivity of Babylon, and they are at the point where they are rebuilding, trying to rebuild the gates and the walls of Jerusalem. And here we find the prophet Haggai. Haggai is prophesying and preaching unto the children of Israel at this time in this first chapter.
They have stopped working in that upon the wall.
Amen.
They had got a letter from the surrounding people and the surrounding governments and how they was opposed to the city of Jerusalem being rebuilt. And most importantly, they were afraid that the Israelites would rebuild the temple and start worshiping God.
Amen.
They was afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of the God of Israel, because they knew that God, the God of Israel, which is our God, is the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and all-loving God. But he's also a God of wrath and a God of judgment.
Yeah.
They knew when the Bible says that whosoever shall bless Israel shall be blessed, and what nation curseth Israel shall be cursed. They knew every time they come against Israel that if they came against Israel that God would defend them. But they also knew at the time when Israel was taken off into captivity, it wasn't another country had done it, but it was God chastising his people for them living wrong. Can I say something here today? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we are all, if we have been born again, if we are, and we have been saved and that made new in Christ Jesus the Lord. The Bible says God chastens whom he loves.
Amen. That's right.
He chastens us. What's that mean, preacher? He corrects us. He disciplines us. And the Bible says, and we are all partakers of that chastisement. And the Bible says, if you have not been chastised, then that you are a bastard and not a son. That means you don't belong unto the Lord. Preacher, I thought that was a bad word. It is out into the world, but that word specifically means that you do not have that daddy to be your daddy.
Amen.
And the Bible says that if you've been born again, you will receive chastisement from the Lord. Preacher, why should we receive chastisement? Because we all sin and come short. We all can't live a perfect life. We're all trying the best as we can do. But the Bible says we fall short and God corrects us and God puts us in the path, puts us right back on the straight and narrow, that we may have life and that have life more abundantly. But here in the book of Haggai, the Bible says that when Haggai began to prophesy through and by the Spirit of God, they found themselves to a place where they had stopped to work, and it has been reported that when they was receiving all the goods and all the timber to build on the house of God, the temple of God, and Jerusalem and the gates and the walls, and then since that stuff was stopped, since they couldn't build upon them things, they started building their own houses and started building their own things that they wanted with the very good material that was given to them to build the house of God. And the Bible says when they began to do those things, Haggai prophesied unto them and said, consider your ways. Consider how you're living. Consider how you've got your days mapped out. Consider how you're living your life from day to day. Consider how you spend your money or spend your time. Consider how the time that you use and the time that you've set aside for your families. Consider your ways and consider how you think and consider how you believe. Consider how you walk. Consider how you worship. Consider how you talk to other people. Consider how you talk to one another.
Yeah.
He said, consider your ways.
Amen.
He's saying, look at them. Think about them. Are they what they should be? Are they what they're supposed to be? He looks at them and keeps on prophesying. He says, you eat, but you're still hungry. He says, you drink, but you're still thirsty. He said, you put clothes upon yourself, but you still ain't warm.
Yeah.
He says, you earn wages, and the wages that you do earn, you put them in a bag full of holes. And all you have is just an empty bag. And he says, ends it off by saying, consider your ways. And now I could say this morning, not only to the lost that's here or to people that doesn't really look at it, but it goes from all the way from the worst of the worst that man thinks, even to the preachers that are in the pulpits.
Amen.
Brother James, we are to consider our ways.
Yes.
Y'all with me this morning?
Amen. Preachers.
I mean, God's a preaching and God's a talking just back in those days, the same days as they were back then, they are the same as of today. He's saying, consider your ways. Consider how life is among you. And I begin to think, and normally whenever I've heard this preached, I've heard preachers stand upon the pulpit, and God used them, and it's a real hard message. But God dealt with my heart about the book of Haggai, and about these people, and about the message today, about how you went through these things. I mean, we can stand here today, and we can talk about our ways. And if we think about the things that we do, and if you think about the precepts and the lines of the Bible and the scriptures, how they're laid out, when you weigh out your ways and you look at your way comes way short.
Amen.
And that which matches up with scripture. I mean, think about it today. I mean, I just, for some reason, I feel like we're going this way. I mean, if you think about your life and think about the way you've been living, we just go by the best things that we think within our own mind. We think we should do it this way, therefore we do it that way. And we think we should do it that way, therefore we do it that way. When it comes to going to groceries, some of you may grocery shop a certain way, some of you grocery shop another way. And I would sit there for the longest time, Brother Howard, and I would be so upset over how the groceries are. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not too mad when God's blessed me with 6 children. But when it comes to grocery shopping, a man can get mildly upset, and a wife can mildly get up, a mom can get upset when it comes to grocery shopping, having that many kids. And so I began to ask God, I said, God, why does it seem like the groceries just doesn't seem like they go as far as they used to? God, why does it seem like things just seem to happen not like they used to? And God showed me one time, he said, Jason, when was the last time you prayed over them groceries before believing God? And I said, well, Lord, I wasn't asking to get chastised. I was just asking about some fried potatoes or soup beans. And he said, consider your ways, Jason. He said, everything, give it unto me. We all know about the disciples' prayer. The disciples' prayer when they come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, you should pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And I'm sitting there thinking, going, Lord, you know, I never kind of looked at it that way. He said, Jason, you're wanting to pray about 30 days worth of bread. He said, I'm just asking you to forgive me one day, and I'll supply all your needs. He was saying, consider your ways. I mean, we think about it from time to time. We look at our paycheck. We look at our daily lives. We look at the cars that we drive. We look about putting gas in our vehicles. We look how bad the government's treating us. We look how bad the situation is. The dollar don't go as far as it used to go. People don't live like it used to live. And we all look at the situation, but the one thing we always seem to forget about is putting everything in the hands of God. Amen. That's why Haggai was saying, consider your ways.
Amen.
Jesus said, my ways are above man's ways.
Yeah.
The psalmist says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so is God's ways above man's
Amen.
Ways. I mean, when we think about it, we think about how we do things every time we put our hands to it. Every time we try to do something, sometimes we have a little bit of success. And sometimes things seem to work out. But in the very grand scheme of things, in the big picture, they never really do. I mean, if you have it, if there's a thought that the Lord placed upon my heart about this message, it's that it seems like we are never satisfied.
Amen.
We are never satisfied
with
the things that we have. I mean, even church people, we can honestly say, there's things in this world where we're never really satisfied. You say, preacher, I don't understand. It seems like I'm pretty satisfied. Well, you might be right now, but maybe tomorrow, maybe Tuesday, or maybe a couple months from now, you won't be satisfied with the things that we have. I mean, ain't that right? I mean, we get us a new house, and we'll sit there, and we love the house. We decorate the house. We put furniture in the house. I mean, we put carpet in the house. And we wait too long after we have that house a couple years down the road, and that house just isn't like what we thought it was when we first got it. So we got to do things a little different to make it a little bit better so we'll be satisfied with it that way. Maybe we'll put some shrubs in front of the house. Maybe we'll build a deck. Or maybe we'll do some other things around the house just to spice it up because we're not satisfied with the way that it looks. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean or nothing like that, but my wife wants to change furniture around every month to make it look a little different in the house. Why? Because it's our nature. When we're not satisfied with the things that we have, seems like. I mean, we'll get ourselves a new car. We'll get ourselves a new pickup truck. We'll get ourselves a new 4x4, and we'll drive it around. We'll like that truck. I mean, us men, we'll put our arm over the steering wheel. We'll pretend like we were back in high school or back in our early days. We'll drive like we're somebody. We'll think we're something. And even a couple months or a couple years later, we get tired of that old Ford pickup truck or old Chevy pickup, whatever, Dodge, whatever you want to drive, don't matter to me. And it ain't too long, we start getting the telling and set, and start getting the auto trader, start thumbing through. Y'all don't look at me that way. I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'll come home with an auto trader, my wife will look and roll her eyes. I mean, I used to buy pocket knives, and I bring pocket knife magazines home. She said, you get that filthy magazine out of my house, because she knew I was not satisfied with the things that I had. I mean, if you think about today, a fisherman's never satisfied with one bass boat. He's never satisfied with one fishing pole.
Yeah,
I mean, you ladies should be shouting right now. I mean, you're missing the best opportunity to amen on your husband, your boyfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, you're missing the best time to amen on your parents, grandparents. I mean, but we're not satisfied with one fishing pole. Hey, I have one. They said, I've got 6 or 7, don't I? I'm not satisfied with one fishing lure. I've got a whole tackle box full. I'm not liking the one bass boat I got. I want the next biggest bass boat. That one's bigger. It's got a better dead fire. Got a bigger motor on it. Got a nicer trailer. Got a identify with the things they are.
Amen.
Amen, that's right. Well, you ladies had your chance, but it seems like women never are satisfied with the things they have neither. It seems like they can't have 50 pairs of shoes. They want 60 pairs of shoes. I mean, they'll see a pair of shoes. Amen. That's what we're preaching still, ain't we? What these men, amen, ladies, you want them, amen. I mean, they can't be happy with a couple pair of shoes. They need 20. They don't like that new pair of shoes they bought last month. There's another pair on sale. They can get, they say it's on clearance. It seems like whenever they go get something on clearance, they buy that one thing on clearance, they come out with 10 other things that wasn't on clearance. Amen. Amen. Why is that? It's our nature. We're never satisfied.
Amen. Come on.
Ain't that right? I mean, and it's right. I mean, if you look at our everyday life, that's why the Bible says, that's why Haggai said, do it by the power of God. He said, consider your ways. I mean, if you think about it, we're just like that man in the Gospel of Luke. In the 12th chapter, the Bible says that he planted his fields, and the Bible says that his fruit, the harvest of that field, it was great, it was big. And he looked and saw that his barns weren't big enough. And instead of giving some of that crop away to somebody who needed it, maybe bring it out of my house, trying to feed some of these kids that I got, or give it to some poor people, some other folks. But no, he wasn't satisfied. He pulled down his little barns, built himself bigger barns, so he can sit back and say, all this stuff is mine. I mean, it seems like, if you may disagree with me, I don't care how holy you are, I don't care how saved you think you are, when it comes down to it, our flesh is the most selfish thing there is.
Amen.
It always right. wants to be fed. It always wants the things that it wants. It never wants to follow God.
Amen.
I mean, I've watched people pass away. I've watched folks on their deathbed, and even their flesh right then fights to hang on, and fights to hang on. Why? Because it's never satisfied.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. That's right. I mean, we're living in a day, especially in 2013, kids ain't satisfied. Well, the kids weren't satisfied with a Nintendo. They wanted a Sega. They weren't satisfied with a Sega. They got the next best Nintendo. They weren't satisfied with a Nintendo. They got a PlayStation. They weren't satisfied with a PlayStation. They want a PlayStation 2. Well, the PlayStation 3 is better than the PlayStation 2. My kids have always been talking about. They're coming out with a PlayStation 4. We're not happy with an Xbox. Got to have it all night. Now I'm preaching on my kids, and I love the opportunity to do that. They love them Xbox. Want to play it all night. We're never satisfied from the time we come out of the womb and into this world. We'll never be satisfied.
Amen.
And that in our flesh. I mean, if you think about this, it's a constant struggle. Even for the preacher to keep making sure his flesh stays under his subjection. Why is that? Because our flesh is never satisfied. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Amen, that's right. I mean, I was just down in Kentucky, around amongst them hillbillies, amongst my family, amongst them people. Good, some of them folks are good people, but they couldn't resist. They couldn't resist. Some folks had to see things because they were nosy. Some folks couldn't help themselves. They had to look at things. I mean, it's just the nature of the eyes. I was on the computer looking up something, and over in the right-hand corner, they wanted to pop up some nasty, filthy picture. And I had to turn my head this way and try to click off of it. Why was you doing that, preacher? Because my eyes, my flesh actually wanted to look at that. Well, I tell you what, Brother Art, a lot of people won't admit it. I'm not afraid to admit it. I can't get through this life by myself.
Amen.
Jeff, I can't live a Christian life by myself. I need God. I need His Spirit. I need Him. I need church. I need brothers and sisters. I need the Bible. Because if I don't have them things, my flesh will consume me.
Amen.
And the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes 1:8, says the eye is never satisfied with the seeing. The ear is never satisfied with the hearing. I mean, if you want to get people's attention, just start spreading some gossip. I mean, people will sit and listen to gossip. I mean, most folks will sit there. I mean, a dirty joke, here's how a dirty joke will start almost every time. They'll start looking and people start coming around when they hear that dirty joke, and they want to get their ears close to it. Why? Because the ear is never satisfied with the hearing. I mean, people don't care, seems like, no more. I mean, our eyes and our ears and our flesh, if we'll let it, it'll rob us, it'll kill us, it'll leave us on the side of the road because it wants to be satisfied. But folks, I'm telling you, I don't care who you are, it no matter what you do, you'll never satisfy your flesh.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You never will.
Amen.
You never will. The Bible says, amen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. You say, preacher, that's crazy. I know it is, but they never are. I mean, how many people's got a raise here the last couple of years? I got one. Hey, we got used to that raise a little bit, didn't we? Seen that paycheck, said, man, that looks good. Wasn't a couple months later, Brother Ron, I was looking, going, man, that check could be a little bit bigger. I mean, I could stand to have myself another raise. I mean, that's the way we are, ain't it? I mean, y'all don't look at me that way. Y'all think the same way I do. You're just afraid to speak it out in public, and I'm just dumb enough to do it. But everybody knows we're never satisfied with the things of the flesh. He said, he that loveth silver will never be satisfied with silver. You love money, you'll never be satisfied with money. You rather do this or do that, the things of your flesh, you'll never be satisfied doing it. I saw one fella, he bought a pickup truck. I said, that's a nice pickup truck. He said, yeah, I love it. That's the truck I've always wanted. I said, that's nice. I said, well, I'm glad you got that truck. I said, that's a pretty truck. He said, yeah, but it ain't done yet. I said, why ain't it done? He said, I got to give you another set of rims and tires for it. I said, what's wrong with the ones on? I said, those look like brand new tires. He said, they are, but they ain't the kind that I like. He said, I'm putting new tires and rims on it. Got to get myself one of them big fancy exhaust pipes. Make it loud and everything. I said, why are you doing that for? Looks like a brand new exhaust on that truck. He said, yeah, but I want something loud. Yeah. I want something cool. And by the way, I want my windows tinted so nobody can see what I'm doing. And by the way, I want bigger speakers and a better stereo. Woo! Hey, I'm still preaching this morning. I'm preaching better than you all say amen to. And they will never be satisfied with the things that they want in their flesh.
Amen.
But here's what something the Lord showed me in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. If you want to turn, that's fine. You can turn. But this is some of the things the Lord laid upon my heart. There's things in the Bible that tells us and shows us. There's things that says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 14, says a horse leash hath two daughters crying, give, give. You see, preacher, I don't understand what that is. That's why them people on them horses always die. Always a pulling. One, both of them crying, give, give, give. Wanting more control from that horse. But it says there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say it's not enough. Verse 16 says, the grave is never satisfied. The grave is never satisfied. You say, preacher, I don't understand. It don't matter how many graves have been dug throughout the last week or so. It don't matter how many graves have been dug in the last month or so. The grave is never satisfied. There's never enough people that's died where you ain't going to dig another grave. There's never been enough people that's lost their life doing something or fighting to do something where the grave still out beckons and beckons and that for us. I mean, if you'll have it this morning, I mean, I've been a part of more funerals and visitations and hear about more death in the last couple, this last month, than I could ever remember having in all my life. And I said, Lord, it seems like every time I go, I think it's just about to calm down, I get a phone call or somebody says everything was all right. I mean, we went through some things here and we went through some things with some family, with the families that we love so dearly. And they had went through a loss, went through some problems. And I thought next thing one was going to happen on his brother's side, but God's pulling him through that.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, finally, Lord, things will calm down. I heard about somebody else passing away and Michelle and Dave. I thought everything was all right. Everything was calming down. Then I got a phone call from my mom. My mom never calls me. And I picked up the phone, thought, what could be going on? What was it? It was another death. And sure as the world, I get back from Kentucky, thought everything was going to calm down. Back there while I'm getting ready for service, I get a phone call of another death. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter how you do things. It don't matter if you try to memorize your Bible. The facts are these, folks. You're still going to die. If God don't come back, the grave will never be satisfied. It'll always cry out for a body. It'll always cry out for a casket. It'll always cry out for a head marker to be above it. The grave is never satisfied. I mean, it don't matter in the good of times or the poorest of times. I was talking to that funeral director as we were standing outside in the parking lot. I said, since the economy's had a downturn, you all don't have a downturn, do you? He says, no, actually, we're getting busier and busier. Seems like we got more deaths on the rise now than we did when times were good. He said, but the bad thing is that folks can't afford to pay for their own funerals. It don't matter to the grave. It still wants a body. It still wants someone's flesh down in that grave. And it's never satisfied. The second thing it's never satisfied, that the writer of Psalms put, he said, the barren womb is never satisfied. Can I say there's women today There's women today that cannot have kids that would love to have kids. There's women today that would love to have their own child to hold. There's women today that cry out that would love to have that feeling of that baby in the womb. I mean, I hear my wife talking about the things that the babies used to do inside her womb. And I couldn't imagine, but to see a mother or to see a mother in the way she feels, then see another young lady or another lady who would love to have a baby, would love to have someone to have a child of her own in her womb, but she can't have no kids. The Bible says, Hannah, she couldn't have no kids, but her husband's other wife could. And she cried out over and over again. Her barren womb wasn't satisfied. You couldn't do nothing to help it out. I mean, she could probably eat chocolate, try to satisfy. She could maybe try to run a marathon, wouldn't satisfy. I mean, she tried to get herself a dog, wouldn't satisfy. There's even some cases where women adopted kids, but it's never satisfied the barren womb. It's never satisfied. The next thing that they say is never satisfied is the earth that's not filled with water. I mean, we've all seen some droughts in our days, haven't we? Seen the ground crack open, pour water on that ground, it just disappears just as soon as you get it out of the bucket or the ladle, the cup. The ground's never satisfied when there's a drought and there's no water. It's never satisfied. It cries out for more moisture, more water. I mean, even ourselves last year, I remember we cried out. Didn't have no rain, didn't have no rain. I thought my tomatoes were going to go completely out of whack, but it rained like you would not believe. It poured down and still yet. That ground wasn't satisfied. When a couple of days later, it looked all dry and cracked again. The Bible says the ground that has not been filled with water is never satisfied. And can I say this today? Thank you, Lord. The Bible representation of our flesh is the earth. The Bible represents us. The Bible says that Adam was made out of clay. And the earth and the ground, the dust of the earth, it's a representation. It says that's what we're made out of. And it's never satisfied with the water. It wants to be filled with the water. Amen. Can I tell you that our flesh is never satisfied neither? It always wants, no matter how much it gets, it always wants. I mean, I remember the kids went and got all that candy from trunk or treat. They had all that candy, them bags and buckets filled up, dumped it all out in the middle of the pile, and they all still wasn't satisfied. Probably had a ton of candy right there on the living room floor, but still wasn't satisfied. Yeah. Our flesh is never is. And the last thing that it says it's not satisfied, the fire that saith it's not enough. I thought about that scripture this morning, Brother James. The fire, how it's never satisfied, never says it's enough. I got up at 4:30 this morning, and I'm sitting there in the family room getting that fire going on that stove. And I start watching them flames start creeping up that wood, creeping up that wood, creeping up that wood. It was never satisfied. It never stayed even killed. When that wood would start to go down, the fire would start to go down. And if I would have put it up, when I put another piece of wood on that fire didn't stay low. It got excited, if you think about it. I could hear it start roaring inside that metal and that cast iron box. You could hear that flames just shaking, and you could hear the stove rattling, and them flames start getting built up. And that fire was never satisfied. It was never say, that's enough wood, Jason. Don't put no more wood on me. It never say, don't put no more wood in this stove. I mean, I'd stack that stove all the way to the top. I've seen that stove glow cherry red, but that flame never said it was enough. Can I say today, hell is another flame where it's not saying it's enough. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says that hell hath enlarged her borders daily. She ain't stopped. There's never come a point in time in the existence of hell where she's ever stopped and said, no, we're full, ain't got no more vacancy. The vacancy lie in hell for the wrong is always on. The gates of hell is always open, willing, and ready to receive. It never receives the nasties of all nasties. I mean, we all remember Jeffrey Dahmer, that sick man, that sick, twisted-minded individual who loved to bull people. things. No, what I'm saying is, hell is not satisfied. And many of people think they're saved because they spend some time in church. Or many people think they're saved because they have a King James Bible in their house. But if God don't live inside of you, hell will still receive you.
Amen.
That's exactly right. I thought about this today. We are living in the days of being backwards. I mean, used to, years ago, a man would court a woman and they would save themselves unto marriage, that the bed would not be defiled, what Bob says. But now we got folks that say they need to get together, live together, and try the bed out before they get married, make sure it'll last the marriage. I'm still preaching. You say, preacher, that's awful in the faith. It's true. It's backwards today. Folks want to play house before they actually get a house. Folks want to play like husband and wife before they actually say the I do's.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we're in a day where folks have got it backwards. A lot of folks want to buy things and buy things and buy things and then go out and get a job and pay for it. Ain't that right? I mean, we got a governor's doing the same thing. Hey, I'll preach on the governor's shell. I'll preach on it. I may get some black helicopters jump around my house. Amen. There's people today that's got it backwards. And we got folks today that says they've been baptized, but they've never been saved.
Yeah.
That's backwards. You can't get baptized then be saved. Thought about this going through the hills down at Kentucky. Past this one shack, this one house, my sister's in the car with me, and the biggest white smoke belling from out of that smoke smelling. All that flue pipe, all that stacked on top of the house. I said, look, they just cracked themselves a boat down here in the tunnel. Made me think about them people. And I'm not trying to be mean, but the Catholics and the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and some of them, and even some Baptist people do it, maybe Pentecostals. They'll baptize kids and say they're baptized and believe in the Lord. But the Bible says, believe ye first, then be baptized.
Amen. That's right.
You said, preacher, what's the problem with that? There's folks that'll stand up and give their testimony of they got baptized. And I'm saying, well, when's the day you got saved? They say, I remember the preacher took me in the water. How about the time the Holy Ghost took me to the blood? I remember the preacher put me all the way under. How about when Christ took me all the way under? I remember I came up all wet, but you were still a sinner. How about the time Christ got you up, the Spirit got you up, and you was brand new?
Yeah, amen.
We're living a day of being backwards.
Right.
And hell still ain't satisfied with it. I've seen more and heard more junk from the religious world. We got us a humdinger message too, Sister Gorge. From the sign, I told them to talk about it on the way back home from Kentucky. There's more religion in this world than we ever dare to even comprehend in our mind. Just because you come to church, just because you carry a Bible, don't mean to say, you're just trying to show what kind of religion you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many times Sammy has talked to folks at work, and the first thing I want to ask is, what's your religion? What's your religion? And that just burns me up. She said, why does it bother you so much more? I said, I'm not, Baptist is not my religion.
Amen.
I said, I'm a blood-bought, baptized believer in the Holy Ghost
of
Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
And I don't even call myself that. I want somebody else to call me that.
Yeah.
Can I say something right there? Can I read something right there? Brother Ron, a lot of folks want to call themselves Christians, but most of us don't even live like one. In the book of Antioch, they were called Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. Everybody else around them was calling them Christians.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was living like Christ.
Amen.
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 Why? Because they knew to get that flesh under subjection. They knew that it would never be satisfied with the things of the world. So what they knew, they immersed themselves and buried themselves in Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
We're living a day when things are backwards. We're living a day when people do things differently. And when they do those things, and even in religion, even in coming to church, it'll never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied. The only thing that you've got hope for is your soul and your heart. You get them things satisfied with God, then you might have a fighting chance against your flesh.
Amen.
Don't look at me and don't think that I'm crazy. But as I said this before, there's a lot of people that'd be surprised at some things that the Lord showed me in scriptures. A lot of folks believe that they ain't actually biblical. But we're living in a day and a time where folks don't understand and folks don't realize it. And they're trying to live a life and they're trying to live it through their flesh. But you can't live it through the flesh. It takes Jesus Christ living it through the flesh. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter, my favorite scripture in the Bible, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 21. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, the life I live now in the flesh, he said, I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. For I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if you could fulfill the requirements of God through the law, then is Christ dead in vain? What was he saying, preacher? He's saying the law can't do it. Your flesh can't do it. You've got to have Jesus on the inside.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
I mean, you can go to church, you can go to work, you can play religious songs, you can listen to Christian music, and it's all on the outside. But when God gets in the midst of your heart and saves your soul and seals it on the day of redemption, you can fight against the flesh, you can fight against the things that's never satisfied you, and God will bless you and satisfy your heart.
Amen. That's right.
So now let's get back to the scripture. In the book of Haggai, these people were not satisfied with the things they were doing. They were not satisfied. Can I say this? That's why couples fight. Amen. That's why couples fight. That's why kids quarrel. We're living the day where folks, we're not satisfied. They're trying their very level-headed best. You're trying. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Get up and go to work. Put in an honest day's work. Honest day's pay. Try your best to do your job. Not to have a pity party, but wife goes and works 13, 14 hours. Some folks lost their job where she worked at because of the things they was doing. And they decided to call and text her on her phone on the way home and call her some names and cuss at her because they just didn't like it that she was still there. I mean, you try your hardest and try your best, and it seems like nothing is ever really satisfied, is it? I mean, this is not for saved folk or lost folk. It's for all of us. I mean, how many of you went to work and worked your fingers to the bone, and you come home and you're tired and you're wore out, and you may have kids. It don't matter if you got one or six or seven or eight. But as soon as you get home, think you can sit down, everything will be all right, and one of them will say, I'm hungry. I want something to drink. I'm hungry. Can I play video games? Can I do this? Can I do that? It seems like you never can sit down and be satisfied with your day. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
I mean, you might be working yourself. You may go to work and work as hard as you can, but it seems like the boss comes around and he's always saying things to you, or always saying she's always bad enough for you, or always getting on your case, and you have not done nothing wrong. Why is that? They're never satisfied. You say, preacher, what can we do? What can we do? You better get Jesus Christ in your heart. You better get him in your life, because you might as well face it. You're going to suffer in this world, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. You're going to suffer. You'll never be satisfied in your flesh, no matter who you are. But if you have God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, or Psalm chapter 17, verse 15, the psalmist wrote, said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. He's talking about in the Psalms, he's talking about where everybody's looking at all the things they can gain up. All the wealth they've gained up. I talked to my old deacon. He called me up. And his wife's a crying and everything. And he said, they got robbed on Friday night. And this past, or a week ago this past Friday, and last Wednesday while they was at church, they broke back in and finished them off. They took everything, Art, that they had put up and stockpiled, and everything they had put back for their kids. He says it wasn't our stuff, it was our kids' inheritance. They came back and stole it, stole all their guns, all their jewelry, all their computer stuff, all the things that they had put back. Put everything back. I asked him, I talked to him yesterday. I said, how you doing? He said, Jason, if my wife's heart's broken, she's scared, and that flesh will never be satisfied. There'll never be amount of fear that the flesh will be. It'll always want you to be scared, always want you to be fearful. And I asked him, I said, brother, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing all right, because I still have God. It hasn't stopped me from going to heaven. I'm still going.
Amen.
Though them thieves will never be satisfied, that deacon says, I'm satisfied in my heart. And the psalmist wrote in Psalm 17, verse 15, he said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness," talking about God. Then he said, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy light."
Amen.
Preacher, when will we be satisfied? When it's all over with.
Yeah, that's right.
James, I don't know what heaven looks like. I've heard people say. I've heard folks try to describe it, and they won't say football or golf or everything's up there. I don't know. But you know, there is somebody up there, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It will not be heaven unless I can see him.
Yeah.
I know you have loved ones in heaven. I've got loved ones in heaven, and I want to see them. But it won't be heaven unless I can see Jesus Christ. I will not be satisfied unless I can see the Lord. Get this from Psalm chapter 63, verse 5. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips."
Amen.
What is that? That's a person who's saved and born again in this life. I mean, I come back from Kentucky, and if you ask my wife how much I wanted to move to Kentucky and live, how much I wanted to go down there and be amongst my people in that land. And on the way back, Friday, Michelle, on the way back after spending a day and a half with them people, I said, "God, I'm glad I'm going back to Mount Zion. I'm glad I'm going back to Blanchester." Preacher, there ain't nothing in Blanchester. There ain't much about Mount Zion. Maybe not in your eyes, but man, it's full of glory.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
God's blessed me in my lips. I'm going to praise Him. You may not praise Him like I do. That don't bother me, but I'm still going to praise Him.
Yeah.
And I shall be satisfied. But here's the thing. Here's the part that the Lord hit me with. And I didn't know who was going to be here today. And I don't know nobody's business, saved or unsaved. But there's people here that's fighting, scratching, clawing, doing everything they can to get to a certain point where they say, "I've got this." Okay, we're going to let take a deep breath. Or I think you once told me you retired from work and said, "Now I'll get time to rest." And Art said, since he's been retired, he works more now than he'll be able to have a job. You fought, you fight. All you scratch, try to get to a certain point in your life. Me and my wife's been the same 17, going 18 years. We now live in Blanchester. We got three cars, and not one of them bring any fancy buyers coming by knocking on our door asking for them. We realized a long time ago, Lisa, that the things of this world will never satisfy us. Never will. One day, God. Satisfied.
Yes, he did.
Satisfied. I still got car payments. I still got house payments. I think I've done how many thousands of dollars in vehicles this past couple months to get them fixed right back where I can wear them all out again and spend thousands of dollars on them again. Them cars never satisfied, Ron. They'll never stay new. But God's always made himself new to me. This is the scripture that I thought of. And this is for somebody today. Psalm 107, verse 9. Psalm 107, verse 9. "For he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness."
Yes, he does.
And I look for the word satisfied in the New Testament. I look for satisfied. And the word satisfied stops the Old Testament. And I said, "Lord, how come the word satisfied is not in the New Testament?" God showed me, he said, "Because in Jesus Christ, you are."
Yeah, amen.
You may not see satisfied, but God, I see the name of Jesus. I see Jesus, the greatest name above all names, whereby we must be saved. No other name given under heaven. It's Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, he satisfied the longing soul. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11 said, "The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in dry."
their soul. There's folks here today that's not satisfied in the life that they're living. They're always seeking something else. They're always seeking something more. I ask you today, come and have Christ have His way in your heart. I guarantee you, you'll be satisfied.
Amen.
I guarantee you, you'll be satisfied. Brother Eddie, if you come and get us a song. I'm asking you today, more so God's asking you. You know you're not satisfied. You know you're always behind the eight ball, some way, shape, or form. Right now, things might be good, but there's a something ahead, and there's always something that comes down the road to interfere with your life. Never let you have total peace. But Jesus says, I want to give you peace, not as the world gives you peace. He says, I want to give you my peace. And Jesus' peace, it passes all understanding.
Amen. That's right.
In the times when you should not have peace, you'll have peace. In the times it seems like you don't think there's no way out, and there'll be a way out. In a time when you think it's impossible for anything to turn around, and God turns it around. Why is that? Because it's God, and He loves you, and He wants to satisfy your longing soul. Haggai said it back over 2,000, almost 3,000 years ago, and God's saying it today. Consider your ways. How's your ways of getting through life compared to God's ways? The way that you're living, the way that you're doing your life, the way that you're saying how things ought to be, will they get you to the same place, the way God says that you ought to live, the way things God wants to do for your life to get you to the place where He says how it's going to end? I mean, you can live your life the way you see fit. I've heard people say it all the time. Preacher, I'll live my life the way I want to. God will let you do that. God will let you live your life the way you want to. But it seems like everybody wants to live their life the way they want to. When it gets to the end of life, then they want to ask God to give them His ways. Now, I'm not here to be mean. I'm not here to be rough. I'm here to tell you exactly what God's telling me to say. Many a folk wait to that last time. Many a folk wait till it gets to a certain point. But if God's not there, you won't get His ways.
That's right.
Isaiah said, seek the Lord while He may be found. That means there'll be a time, Brother Ron, when He won't be. Isaiah said, call upon Him while He's near. Because the Bible says there's going to be times when He won't be around at all. I've heard folks say, well, preacher, as long as I'm breathing, I've got hope. No, you don't. God told Noah, He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm not here to give you religion. I'm not here to make you feel good about yourself. I'm here to tell you what God says. And God says, consider your ways. And I think if we all stood up and had to consider our ways by the ark, we would none be satisfied. I'll be the first one to say, I'm not satisfied with my ways. But with one hand I say, I'm not satisfied. I'll lift up both and say, well, I'm satisfied with God's ways. As they sing a song, if you'd stand with me, I'm asking you today, don't wait. Call upon Him. Once you come today, come and pray. Ask God whatever you need to ask Him. Come talk to Him. Whatever you need to do. Once you come this morning.
Number 51.
Once you come this morning.
And he said, I'm going to live the way I want to. Dad, just give me my money. I'm going to live the way I want to. I know what's best. And the Bible said he wasted all that money on righteous living. Righteous living can mean anything from living like the folks and the dregs of society, or it could just simply be in not living the way Daddy said you ought to live with that money. And the Bible says that when that inheritance was up and that inheritance was all spent and wasted, his friends didn't care about him. His friends didn't love him. But they told him that if he wanted something to eat, he'd have to eat with the hogs if they had him a feed. But the Bible says in the depths of his loneliness, he almost ate what them pigs had. He almost ate it. It was that bad for him. But he remembered how good it was at Daddy's house. He remembered how good it was. How the servants had it, how his brother had it, how he had it, how his mom had it. He remembered how good it was. He said, if I could just get back home with Dad. If I could just get back home, go back home. I won't be a son. I won't be a part of the family. I just want to be a servant. I just want to have something. I'm tired of living this way. I'm not satisfied. The Bible says he rehearsed his speech. He rehearsed his testimony on the way to back to the farm. Thank God Dad didn't sell the farm.
Amen.
Hey, the Bible says he rehearsed it all the way back home. Daddy, I've sinned against you. Daddy, I've sinned against heaven. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Can I just be amongst the hired servants? Oh, the Bible says when he got to the top of the hill, Daddy wasn't doing something else, but Daddy was looking for him to come back home. And the Bible says that when Daddy saw him, he didn't wait on him, but Daddy ran to him. Fell upon his neck, hugged him and kissed him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Put a robe on him. And a celebration came. He said, for my son that was now dead is now alive.
Amen.
I believe today there's people here just like that fellow. You've wasted your time. You've wasted other people's time. You've wasted God's time. But God hasn't sold the farm. It's still here. The church ain't gone. We're still here.
Amen.
And he's still looking for you to come back home. Say one more verse. Won't you come this morning? Won't you come this afternoon? Won't you come? Come on. Come on. Come on, friend. Come on, friend. Let's go. Time to come home. The world will never satisfy you. God will. He satisfieth the longing soul. Psalmist wrote in one place, I'm poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh upon me. Church for allowing God to preach this today to you and in front of you. But we know this today, that you'll never get satisfied. Your flesh never will be satisfied. The only peace and chance we've got is that in Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
As the psalmist said, he will satisfy your longing soul. Consider your ways.